Welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Church today. It's great to see you all here today. I have a few announcements. First, that all the women of the church are having a meeting after the service in the library to elect a president and vice president. And also next week, we're having a short congregational meeting after the service. Purpose of the meeting is to elect additional persons to sessions, deacons, and the 2017 nominating committee. Per capita for 2017 is $3,150. I also want to welcome back Reverend Bruce Byers today. This is his last time after 3 weeks. We've certainly enjoyed his time here, and we hope to see you in the future, baby. We will see. Also, very important next week, our new interim pastor, Reverend David K. Wood, will be here and starting his regular services here. We also extend our condolences to the Hall family on the passing of Janet Hall last week. Her services will be at Brock Funeral Home on Monday at 10:30. Reverend Wood is going to be doing the service, and our condolences go out to Patty and Bob Hall for that. Viewing is today at Brock Service at Brock Funeral Home from 1 to 8 p.m. Let's see. With that, I will turn it over to the Reverend.
Our call to worship should be up on the screen. Do we have one?
Yes, it's right here.
All right.
It's hard for the Reverend Doctor to see the screen.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Then you will call on me, and I will hear you.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let us now worship the God who loves us all.
Our first hymn is number 39, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Together let us stand and sing to God's praise and glory.
Thank you.
My friends, if we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers from the truth. But if we confess our sin, God is merciful and just and may be trusted to forgive our every transgression. Let us now confess our sin before Almighty God by praying in unison the prayer of confession that you will find on the second page of your bulletin this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your time and providence, you have a plan for us all. Forgive us the many times we have been afraid to follow, the many times we have abandoned your path, the many times we have neglected to pass through the doors you have opened for us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and forgive our sin. Help us to become a people who ask and seek and knock, so that we might receive and find and pass through the doors open for us. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Knowing our own hearts more deeply than any others, let us now confess before Almighty God those sins that cling so close, the sins that hold us back from becoming all God needs us to be. Let us now continue our prayer of confession in the silence of our own hearts. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. For in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us now say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. No, that's correct. You are not supposed to be seated. It is time to greet and pass the peace and say good morning to everybody in the whole church.
I was doing so good.
You were on a roll, man.
I was.
Well, since I've already made a muddle of things, I'm going to dig in deeper. Young lady, would you share your name with all of us?
Emma Perman.
Emma, and this last week, something very special that you did shines as an example for all of us. If you would remember, this young lady just happened to have very, very long hair. And surprisingly enough, me, who is always thinking about how much hair other people have noticed that her hair was cut considerably shorter. And so I asked her why, and this is why.
I donated it for cancer and people who don't have, like, aren't able to have hair.
So you donated it, and they'll... You are an inspiration to us all. Thank you. Go ahead and sit down and be at peace. See what you guys can do by being who you are and being in this place on Sunday morning. Little things. Can you imagine the person that will receive that hair? How grateful they will be. How important it will be. And all because some little girl decided to give up something very special. Man, it just doesn't get any better than that. We also have another something special happening today. Cliff, I need your Cliff notes. Come and share with us.
So we have a number of prayer and praise requests today. First, prayer for Sandy Salmon, who's having a biopsy on her arm on Thursday. Prayers that all goes smoothly. Prayer request for Deborah Wigan, who is the daughter of Paul and Bev Ruby. She is home from the hospital, did not pop the hip joint, but has nerve and muscle problems. So prayers for help on that. And a praise request from John and Carol Kane for her granddaughter, Skylar, who's been offered places by Pacific Northwest Ballet Company and Boston Ballet Company for their summer intensive programs. We applaud her courage in auditioning, and we are pleased to her hard work and dedication to the ballet that are being appreciated. And finally, prayer request for the Hall family and the loss of Janet Hall.
Thank you, Cliff. The other thing special that we are going to do this morning is that last week a young man came up to me after worship because of the sermon on prayer. That prayer is supposed to be our steering wheel and not our spare tire. And in order to circumnavigate the spare tire hood, he said that he would like to come and pray for us, and I said certainly. So at this time, I would like to invite Justin Michael Cognon to come up and to pray for all of us this morning. I will finish up when he is complete, but he will start off our pastoral prayer for today. Are you ready? Now, did you turn your mic on? You good?
Yeah.
You remember where to hold it?
Yeah.
You remember what to do?
Yeah.
Go for it, kid.
Please pray for Kathy Sagi for surgery. And please hope that it goes well. And please pray for my mom that her surgery goes good.
So pray for us. Tell us pray for bow us. Our heads.
And thank everybody for letting my mom get married on June 17th. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much. Go ahead and sit down and be at peace. Well done, Justin. Now, let's make sure I have the cliff notes. The cliff notes. I think that's terribly clever. Okay. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in your time and providence, you have a vision for each of our lives, a plan that unfolds over the course of our days, and a place and destination that we can call home. Thank you, O Lord God, for the many blessings that provides us. Help us to be truly appreciative of all the little reminders along the way that let us know that you are on the premises and that you will see us through. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our heart, that shapes our feelings, that helps us to listen for your word speaking to us, for the times that you've set up coincidences and circumstances to reveal your will to us, for the prodding that you've given us by the others who love us to follow the right path and to find that place where you need us to be. Thank you for all the people that have taught us to ask and seek and knock, that we may find that which you have in store for us. Oh, gracious God, thank you that in Jesus Christ you revealed the sum total of all the things that we need to know to get us to where we want to be when it's all said and done. Gracious Father, hear our prayers today for the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, for its incoming interim pastor, for the search for a new pastor, and especially for finding your plan, discovering your vision, putting it all down on paper, sharing it with each other, and together pulling that sled through the snow and all the obstacles that lie in its path to the place of its destination. Oh God, grant this church the power that can only come from the unity we share in the Holy Spirit, from the body and blood that has been broken and given for us, for all that ties our hearts together in common journey and mutual support. May we be blessed in such a way that we may know what you want and be given the strength and courage to go and do it. Fire our souls, O Lord God, with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might become all that you have ever intended us to be. Hear our prayers this day, especially for those who have had surgery for squamous cell carcinoma. May it all be gone. May the docs have found it all, and may the black eye be soon gone. I pray too, O Lord God, that Sandy, her biopsy, will come back clean and green, and that things will be fine, and no further surgery will need to be done. We pray too for Deborah Wiggins, home from the hospital, but things are not quite right, and we pray that they'll be able to find the root of the issue and that she can be healed. Guide the doctors and nurses and all who seek to make her well again to be able to do just that. And we pray for granddaughter Scott, who's been offered a really significant chance. We pray that it'll all fall together in a way that will enable and empower her to become all the things, Lord God, that you have gifted her to be. Oh, gracious God, we pray, too, for each and every person in this congregation whose needs we may not know, but who hold them in their hearts. We pray your blessing and comfort, your strengthening and empowerment. We pray that the children of our church may hear and understand your word and learn and live by it for all the days of their life, just like we would. Oh, gracious God, our Father, you know us. You know who we are and what we are. You have a plan for us. Grant us the ability to become all the things you ever dreamed that we could be in Christ our Lord. The very same who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us rise and we'll sing together, God of the Ages, History Maker, which will be on our screen this morning. says in the Bible that all that we are, all that we have, and all that we long to become is a gift from heaven above. What we do with all that we have and all that we are and all that we long to be is our gift to God. This morning's tithes and offerings will now be received. Father, help us to identify the gifts that are ours, the vision that you have for us, and our willingness to pursue it. May you bless our gifts so that they may bear fruit 100-fold for your kingdom. May we use them consistently, wisely, and well, and to your glory alone, in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Jeremiah 29:10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to his place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is a reading of God's word.
I think I'll just wait till she gets in place. Pray with me. Gracious God, our Father, speak to us in words that we can hear, understand, and obey. May we be yours, all of one heart and mind, in Christ our Lord. Amen. In the year 587 BC, something catastrophic happened to the people of God. You see, for almost half a millennia, they had been an independent nation, ruled by their own people, seeking their own ends, developing their own worship, and becoming truly and genuinely what God intended them to be. They were fiercely independent. But now, in this latter part of the 6th century BC, they were a conquered nation under the rule of the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar. The heel of the oppressor was strongly upon their throat. The tribute, that is, the tax that was due Nebuchadnezzar, was steep, and the people did not want to pay it. It impoverished them. They made alliances with other nations. Promises were given. Armies were to come. And so their confidence grew so much that they did not pay the tribute that was due. King Nebuchadnezzar would have none of that, you see. He decided it was time to squash this rebellion and the rebellious people who would not pay their due to the one who had conquered them and protected them. He gathered together his massive army, which was the largest in the world at the time, the most skilled, the best weaponry. And he marched from Babylon straight to Judea. Well, the promises failed. The armies never showed. The support never came. And what Nebuchadnezzar did next to Judea was horrific. In retaliation for their rebellion, the capital city of Jerusalem was sacked and burned. The walls surrounding the city were destroyed down to the very foundation. The temple itself was razed till there was not one block upon the other. All the holy remnants that were inside the Holy of Holies were taken back to Babylon. But worst of all, they took the royal family, the best merchants, the finest craftsmen, the people who managed things, the people that were in politics, the people that were in schools and colleges and seminaries, and took them all away and distributed them throughout the Babylonian Empire, but the most in Babylon. It was a time of horror for the people of Israel. And they called it simply the diaspora, the distribution. It is unlikely that any other nation in the world, except God's chosen people, could have ever survived such a meticulous plan of decimation. In fact, when you read Psalm 137, it was composed during this huge exile and the forced marching of all these individuals some 137 miles from Judea to Babylon. In Psalm 137 it says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" The text we read this morning was taken from a letter that was sent from Jeremiah, the melancholy prophet, the prophet of doom, the prophet that no one ever really listened to because everything he ever said was so dour, nobody wanted to hear it. This letter was sent to the elders and priests and to the people that went into exile. And Jeremiah, unlike the other prophets that said, "Oh, yeah, you'll be back in 2 years. You know, Nebuchadnezzar won't hold his fierce anger forever. He'll send them all home." Jeremiah said it would take 70. And that they should build new lives in the new places that they were sent. He counseled them to settle in, plant gardens and eat from them, take wives and have sons and daughters. They were even to pray for the welfare of Babylon in which they were exiled. I don't imagine that Jeremiah was very popular. In fact, I think he would have been despised for what he had to say. 70 years later, almost to the day, King Cyrus of Persia conquered the Babylonian Empire and dismantled everything that they had done. By royal decree, he allowed the captives to return home. He gave resources to the people of Judea and returned the sacred artifacts. Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem and then the temple and put the sacred articles back into the Holy of Holies. And it all happened just like Jeremiah prophesied. But you know, Jeremiah never did get to see the completion. He died long before they ever came back home. Sometimes we have to be patient to see God's hand move in ways that are almost miraculous. Honestly, things like these happen to all of us, individually, as a nation, as a people. Bad things happen to good people. They come to us unwanted and unwelcomed, but come they do. And so often they are of our own devising, bad decisions that we make that create bad outcomes. But you know, no matter how far away we feel from God, God never leaves our side. He will be with us through it all, whether it means captivity in Babylon, or the loss of someone we love, or some tragedy that comes and rearranges our life, some poor choice we paid, and the consequences have come home to roost. God will never leave us alone. He follows us wherever we go, and he has a plan for each person's life. He has a plan for the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and has a vision for all of us. And if we will let him, he will put that plan and that vision before us. And if we have the strength and the patience and the willingness, God will return us to just the place he needs us to be. The place we truly and genuinely belong. And of this I am absolutely certain. God has a plan for this community and for each of us. Things change, and we may not be what we once were, and what we once did may not work in this 21st century. But we are what we are. And we can make this work if we want to. Because you see, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. You can run the same course round and round, start in the same place, end up in that place you don't want to be until you are fully willing to break that cycle. And when you do, it will have been worth it all. And the key to getting there is remembering that prayer should always be our steering wheel and not our spare tire. Because it is through prayer and prayer's affect that we can begin to perceive the plan God has for us and the vision he has in store. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Holocaust survivor, wrote this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet in the direction that the Lord God would lead you. If you keep telling yourself the same old things and end up in the same old places, you're not listening. You're only repeating. Ask and seek and knock, and you will find that God is in the midst of it, doing the most unimaginable and amazing things. But they are not the same old, same old. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite Presbyterian pastors, says it like this: these insights from God, you never know what may cause them. It might be the sight of the Atlantic Ocean, or a piece of music, or a face you've never seen before. A pair of somebody's old shoes can even do it. You can never be sure. But of this you can be sure. Whenever you find tears in your eyes, especially unexpected tears, it is well to pay the closest attention. They are not only telling you something about the secret of who you are, but more often than not, God is speaking to you through them of the mystery of where you have come from, and is summoning you to where, if your soul is to be saved, you should go next. If I were called upon Frederick Buechner said in a later interview. To state in a few words the essence of everything I was trying to say, both as a novelist and as a preacher, it would go something like this. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is, in the boredom and the pain, it no less than the excitement and gladness, taste, touch, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it all. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. You know, when the Lord first called me to ministry, it came as quite a shock and a surprise. You see, I really wasn't the type. I wasn't holy. I wasn't even religious. And out of the blue, it all started with a request from my religion professor to consider being a minister because he thought I had all the right gifts. Now, I assure you, with hair down to the middle of my back and a small goatee, that I would not consider that any further, which I did not. I simply moved on. But God, like the hound of heaven that he is, never let me rest. There were three different sets of people that came to my little upstairs attic apartment that I had when I was a senior at Millikan University. Two of them were deacons, well into their 80s. One was a roaming evangelist, and the third, well, it was a priest. How they found me, I'll never know. I could hardly explain where I lived to the people that I wanted to find me. But somehow, they did. Finally, I got around to praying. I opened up the Bible. It took me immediately to that passage where Solomon, who had just been given the kingship of Israel by his father David, unexpectedly prays for wisdom. God would give him anything he wanted, but he prayed with wisdom so that he could govern the nation like his father did, and God added that he would give him everything else besides. Well, like Gideon of old, I took the fleece and put it on the threshing floor. And when the threshing floor was wetted, I wanted it to be dry. And when the threshing floor was dry, I wanted the fleece to be wet. And honestly, I didn't really do that, but I did several other things, making sure that this is really what God wanted. And every time I turned around, he kept affirming that call and confusing me more deeply, and especially my friends and family. Finally, I gave in, and I woke up at Princeton Theological Seminary wondering what just happened to me when I was due to go to medical school in Chicago. Wow. You know, it was the single best decision I ever made of my entire life. And so I would counsel you as the people of God, called the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, to pray together, to seek together this plan that God has for your future, to get a hold on that vision. Because I will tell you right now, it's not like anything you've ever done before. It's going to be brand new. It's going to make you uncomfortable, and you're going to do things that maybe you really don't want to do, but in the end, will put you just where it is that the Lord God has need of you. And when you are there, there is nothing better than in all the world. Be patient with each other. And when it comes, and come it surely shall, God is always faithful to that kind of promise and seeking. Write it down on paper. Call it your mission statement. Pursue it, allow it to set your priorities, and run into the future with all your heart. As Jeremiah wrote, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes." You know, the church is not where it should be. On Friday, my wife, who teaches fifth grade at Eaton Hall, the Pine Richland school system, was asked about a quote in a book she was reading called A Wrinkle in Time. And she said it was taken from the Bible. And one good-looking, all-American boy with blonde hair and blue eyes asked simply and incredibly naively, "What is the Bible?" If folks in fifth grade don't know the single greatest book, the widest bestseller in all the world, and you and I, somewhere along the line, are just failing of what it is that God is calling us to do. Challenge yourself to think outside the box and understand that the world has moved the cheese, and we got to find a new way to get to where it is that we need to go. Though much has been taken, much abides. And granted, we are not now what we once were, but in this very room, our hearts that could move heaven and earth. And if we be of one temper and one heart and one mind, we may be made weak by time and fate. But if we are strong of will, we can strive and seek and find and not yield. And eventually, we will come to that place that God needs to be, whether it be in our own individual lives or in our corporate life as the Church of God. T.S. Eliot, who wrote Cats that later became the Broadway musical, he said it like this: "With the drawing of this love and the voice of this calling, we shall not cease from our exploration. And in the end of all of our exploring, we will arrive where once we started and know the place for the very first time. God will see us through, both for now and forevermore. Amen." Let us stand together and sing our hymn of response, which you will also find on the screen.
Thank you.
now in peace, my friends. And remember, wherever it is that you go, wherever it is that you must be, God will go with you there and will see you through. Allow his plan and vision for your life to carry you to the places that he has need of you. Do not be afraid of the future. Do not be afraid of change. Grow and become. And in the end, it will have been worth every ounce of energy you put in it. My peace, I leave with you. My peace, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, both for now and forever. Amen.